so excited. One, the Blackhawks have now won 5 in a row. What a great game. And we're all, you know, doing all right tonight. It's Tuesday night. We hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. And I know some of you might need to maybe get out of your car. Maybe you were just driving, listening to the end of the post-Blackhawks game coverage. Don't forget, everything that we say here at WGN is podcast. You can find us on WGNradio.com. And you can also subscribe to my podcast on iTunes. Just look for me, Patty Vasquez. WGN Radio, maybe on TuneIn, maybe on iHeart. And follow me on Facebook. It's Patty V Show on Facebook, Patty Vasquez, CHI, on Twitter and Instagram as well. And the other reason I'm happy tonight is Bacon Fest is in the house with us tonight. Seth Zurer is with us. And I think I speak for so many of the folks on the 18th floor when I say thank you to you and also to Dearborn. Is it the name of the restaurant?
Yeah, the Dearborn.
The Dearborn sent us some tasty treats ahead of Bacon Fest.
They did. So the Dearborn is a great bar, restaurant, and they sent over a super tasty Gruyere, pear, and bacon grilled cheese sandwich.
Tasty.
Nice and buttery. Tasty. And then they sent over these croquettes, which I can't remember in the middle if it's chicken Alfredo with bacon, deep fried in a ball.
Okay.
Or it might be a bacon carbonara ball.
What do you guys think? I know that I believe it. I'm going to go with it's the Alfredo ball. I think I'm going to say Alfredo.
I think it's a bacon Alfredo ball.
I think it's a bacon Alfredo ball. Tom,
it's got an Alfredo taste to it.
Alfredo,
sure, it's nice
yeah.
and cheesy.
It's so good.
Just to give you a kind of a taste of what you might expect to see at Bacon Fest, which is coming up in just 2 short months away.
Isn't that crazy?
But tickets are on sale right now at BaconFestChicago.com. People who want to go to Bacon Fest have to get tickets, otherwise you can't go.
No, and this sells out.
It will. It has sold out in the past. We live in hope that it sells out again.
Mm-hmm. Don't wait though.
Don't wait. Don't snooze yes. mm-hmm. on Bacon Fest tickets. That's my message to you, people of Chicago. If you love bacon, and I know you do.
Yes, we do.
Go to BaconFestChicago.com and get your tickets right now.
It's one of those defining meats for Chicago, I think, is bacon.
Hog butcher of the world.
Anytime I have the opportunity to... there's candied bacon, right? That's like when you have a Bloody Mary that's got mm-hmm. a nice slab of candy bacon in it.
Sure.
Or a great BLT that's got just... when you know a restaurant isn't just throwing it on the grill, which is fine, right? You got your Diners and Dives with your, I like the Big Top in Norwood Park, and they've got great bacon right off the grill.
Yeah.
But when I go someplace and it's done a little bit more special,
mm-hmm.
It's beyond special at Bacon Fest because yeah. everyone really tries to outdo what they've done last year,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe they're new to it because you guys have a lot of, you have, 50 chefs, you said, for each session?
Yeah, so we'll have around 150 restaurants over the course of 3 sessions. They go through four tons of Newski's bacon from Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And every chef tries their best to top themselves and it's a bit competitive. We give out a trophy every year, the Golden Rasher Award.
Mm-hmm,
Rasher
mm-hmm.
is a piece of bacon for the most creative use of bacon. And the chefs really go hog wild, so to speak.
Nice.
Coming up with creative bacon ideas. So like the Dearborn, which provided the snacks for tonight. Last year they did like a bacon chicken roulade with golden raisins and like all this sort of beautiful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just over at, have you been to Good Measure?
I have not.
So it just opened up a few months ago. It's like a punk rock bar with really fun food. And the chef is this guy, Matt Trost, who's used to be at Three Aces in
okay.
Charlton. And he's one of the few 2-time Golden Rasher winners for his dishes. And he used to do wildly creative stuff. Like he was reminding me of something he did a few years back, which was a shake and bake bacon steak with a bacon shake.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I like that you've got that tongue twister
down. Shake and bake bacon steak. So there was a slab of bacon, deep fried, breaded, braised, and then with like a bacon ice cream milkshake. And the other dish he won for was bacon scrapple. So you know what scrapple is?
No, is that like the sort of, no, just tell me before I start guessing. It's an East Coast dish, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like almost like a meat paste, meat
yes.
sausage
say,
thing, like almost like a hash.
Yes.
You fry it up crispy mm-hmm. and put it on a sandwich. So he made a bacon scrapple and paired it with a bacon Malort Orange Julius cocktail, which is the most Chicago
yes.
cocktail I ever heard of in my life.
Yeah, that's putting Chicago layers
that's
to
right.
the test.
Got the
no
bacon,
doubt about it.
Got the orange, got Malort.
And there's going to be 3 sessions.
3 sessions. We do a Friday okay. dinner session on April 5th.
Okay.
And then a lunch session on Saturday, April 6th, and a dinner session on Saturday, April 6th.
So if you go to the afternoon one, you've got plenty of time to sleep it off
yeah.
and do whatever you're going to do with the rest of the day.
Exactly.
Right?
I have to say... I mean, while I admire and encourage anybody that attends multiple sessions of Bacon Fest in 1 year, most of my guests are single session people. There's like 50 restaurants. You spend about, you have 3 hours.
Right.
The first half hour when you go into Bacon Fest, it's like you're like a kid in a candy store. You're trying to go to as many different spots as possible, but very quickly you hit a wall.
Okay.
And you realize you have to take your time.
So how do you, what are your recommendations for pacing yourself there then?
Yeah, it's tough, you know.
Do you go to the middle of the room and work your way out that way?
People who are truly, so we have people fall into different categories. People are very prepared, like they'll stand in line waiting to get in with the map, and they'll look over the menu ahead of time, which we post on the website before the event, and they'll circle the dishes that are their number one dishes. They want to make sure they don't miss.
Okay.
And then they'll, when they get to the event, they'll plot their map, their route through the room to make sure they don't miss Good Measure, they don't miss Toro Tavern, they don't miss the Duck Inn. And then maybe they'll, after they're done with their top 10, then they'll go and kind of get the other ones, try to get the zeitgeist in the room where the lines are.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. You want to be able to, you know, leave yourself open for that surprise of the night.
That's right. It's all about bacon delight.
Yeah.
Surprise and joy.
And you've done this now, I'm trying to remember, because I think I had, you started coming on the show, I think 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago.
This is our 11th year doing Bacon Fest.
I was going to say 10 was the last time, so it would be 11 now. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So you guys decided there needed, this just needed to happen.
Yeah, so we were, none of us were event producers. I mean, not in the food industry.
Right.
I was kind of like the foodie of my friend group. And I, so people wanted to know what restaurant to go to, they'd ask me where to go. And I threw an annual barbecue in my backyard. So my two friends, who were both theatrical sound designers, went to see a rock and roll puppet musical about beer.
Oh, sure.
That the Neo-Futurists put on in the Metropolitan Brewery.
As they did.
Uh-huh. And as musicians and theater artists, they were so inspired by this show that they went home and they were like, oh, man, these guys love bacon. They love beer so much, they wrote a musical all about beer. What do we love that we would want to write a musical about? And the obvious answer was bacon.
Wow.
So they got drunk and they started writing songs about bacon, and they got bored real quick and they decided, well, let's pivot. Maybe we'll just do a big party. It'll be everything bacon. So they called me, the semi-unemployed barbecue thrower, food maven of the group. Like, hey, what do you think? This is a good idea. The Burning Man of bacon.
Oh.
Like, yes. Yes, that is a good idea.
Wow.
So the next day we got going. That first year we had 10 chefs. We had about 100 guests. We had Newski's bacon. We had beer.
Okay.
We did it in the Publican restaurant, in the dining room between lunch and dinner service. And then from there, it sold out. And every year since then, it sort of picked up. The next year, we did a couple sessions. We had 600 people, 24 chefs. The next year, we had 1,200 people and 60 chefs.
Wow.
And then building up to where we are now, which is, it's a lot of bacon. It's a lot of chefs. It's a good time. If you like bacon, don't miss it.
Well, and the thing is, I'm guessing you have people calling you, messaging you from all over the world. They're like, how do I start a bacon fest? And you're like, do or don't do.
Yes.
But don't not do. Just do it. See? I just
took the words right out of my mouth, Patty.
You can't walk someone through an experience like this, or a process of how you, you know, it has to be the right people, the right time, and the right city.
It's true.
Right?
I mean, there's a lot of bacon fests. I'll be honest. There are a lot of bacon fests out there.
Mm-hmm.
People have started bacon fests on a wing and a dream like me. They didn't know what they were doing. They just put it out there. Some of them are great. Some of them are not great. But Chicago's Bacon Fest, the Bacon Fest that I produced with my buddies, that's a good Bacon Fest.
And you're still friends with them.
Oh, yeah. We get along great.
I'm just teasing. It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
Yeah.
It is a lot of work.
Now, you mentioned that this started it partly because you are the backyard barbecuer.
Yeah.
And so how many grills you got?
No, it's not about how many grills you have.
I know,
it's
but about, I have a sense that you are—you have both a gas grill and a charcoal grill.
You misread me, Patty.
Do I?
You misread me. I am a purist. I own a Weber kettle grill.
Really?
And a Weber Smoky Mountain, charcoal only.
Okay.
A smoker and a grill.
Interesting. See, I only own a kettle.
I have a couple of little miniature charcoal grills, but no gas. My business partner has a gas grill, and I've learned to accept that people find it convenient. But for me, it's not for me.
Well, see, for the reason I don't have a gas grill and I've never used one is I'm a little bit afraid of propane.
Yeah,
I'm
me too.
Pressurized gas just seems like a bad idea.
I don't need that
with
in my house.
No.
Charcoal, I mean, I don't like things on fire, but.
Sure. You know, I just like knowing that if I have a bucket of water, I'm done.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm with you. I'm with you. No, I'm strictly charcoal. In fact, I just smoked a slab of bacon today in my backyard.
Well, because you have to. When the weather is that bad as last week was.
That's right.
I mean, I loved some of the photos people had in their backyards from Sunday where they had like the piles of snow and flip-flops and shorts on. Yeah, that's Chicago.
That's right. It hit 22. Everyone thought it was balmy and ready for sunbathing.
It is Chicago. We are talking to Seth Zur. He's the creator, co-creator of Bacon Fest, starting April 5th and 6th. Mm-hmm. There are three sessions. The website for them to visit:
BaconFestChicago.com.
I need another bite of the sandwich, so we'll take a break here. More in a moment on the Patty Vasquez Show, 720 WGN. It's a quickie. There is still an ice storm warning going through 6 a.m. Wednesday morning, so I hope that wherever you are, I know in the downtown area, it's not too bad. The temperatures are warm enough for the ice to melt, so we've just got a little bit of rain. Doesn't mean that you should be overly confident. We have Seth Zur in studio with me. We're talking about Bacon Fest. We were talking a little bit about the weather during the break, and you know, I don't know if you came in on the highways at all, if you drove in to get to the... Did you drive?
Yeah, I drove down here.
Did you... So I came on the Kennedy, and I was like, what am I... Is there hail coming from the pavement? And I realized the city had gone out with salt trucks to get ahead of this ice storm. And that's one of the things I love about this city, is that when we have any snow, like let's say we get about 2 inches of snow, we will get about 8 inches of salt. We do not play around. There's like, it's time for margaritas in the streets, is what I'm saying. So that reminds me, Seth, for Bacon Fest, are there... You have obviously 50 chefs, different restaurants that want to compete and just show off all their extraordinary skills when it comes to incorporating bacon. Do you have also you know, different cocktails? You have other folks selling beverages?
We have lots of different cocktails, and everything's actually included. So if you buy a ticket to Bacon Fest, you get all the food you want, all the bacon you can eat, plus you get 7 drink tickets for beer, wine, and cocktails.
I think that works. Yeah,
I think it's enough for most people, and for some people, it might be more than they need, so there's usually some drink tickets laying around if you want to get some extra. So we're going to have a bunch of different whiskeys. We're going to have some different mezcals there. We're going to have beer. We're going to have wine. Usually have a few Bloody Marys.
Oh, that's perfect.
That goes well with bacon.
It does.
But, yeah.
In the 11 years you've done this, and I know I've asked you this every year. So, like, what are have been some of the highlights? Well, I guess let's go with just last year, because I know every year somebody has to, like, just try to dazzle the entire crowd.
Last year was an interesting year. There's this the guy who won the Golden Rasher for Friday dinner last year. His name is Guy Michael. Mm-hmm. He's a chef at Heritage Restaurant and Caviar Bar over on West Chicago near California. And he did his restaurant is really interesting, because it's kind of like Central European and Asian and caviar, so like some weird Georgian stuff. So he did these Russian dumplings that are called pelmeni, which are like little hexagonal dumplings. And he made a bacon dough, and then he stuffed it with bacon and bacon fat and ricotta cheese, and had it in like a bacon dashi broth, and then all these different like...
Whoa.
Incredible sort of microgreens, and just a beautiful dish with bacon basically stuffed into every component, but transformed in a way that you wouldn't... There's no slice of bacon there. Like you said, you know, a piece of bacon from a diner grill is
fine.
Delicious.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that. But so we have that at Bacon Fest, but then you also have these chefs that are really transforming the ingredient in wild, creative ways. So it's, you don't even recognize it as bacon until you put it in your mouth, like, wait a minute, something here tastes really good.
Now, is that bacon. How do they make that for everybody that comes in, or is that mostly for the competition for the rasher?
So the dish that they make for the guests is the dish that's being judged for the Golden Rasher Awards.
Okay, so he has to maintain that quality.
Correct. He brought in 1,000 little pelmeni and put them in little dashi broth cups one by one, and garnished each one with a tweezed microgreen.
That is a lot going on.
A lot going on there. Yeah. A lot going on. He also had chicharrones with caviar on them, if you asked nice.
Wow.
It would give you a little bump of caviar on a chicharrone.
There's something about having the pigskin with the bacon that is both poetic, and yet seems like you really don't like that pig. Or you love that pig.
You love the pig. You love it so much that you want to eat every part.
Exactly. Why waste anything? By the way, our good friend Tom Holland just texted in bacon with many, many exclamation points. So very happy about the bacon that is to be had at Bacon Fest.
Yes.
Want to remind folks, it's April 5th and 6th. I don't know why I looked at the clock. You looked over at the clock too. Like, it might just be coming around the corner.
It does feel that way sometimes. Yeah, and you're in production for an event. Like, you wake up one morning and there's 8 weeks to go, and you're like,
it's coming.
Got to get the linens.
What do you feel comfortable procrastinating about? Or is there nothing that can be left till the last minute? And maybe you don't want to say that on the air.
Patty, this is good. I've been needing to talk to someone about my problems.
Okay.
Literally nothing I can't procrastinate.
Okay.
However, Bacon Fest is going to happen. April 5th and 6th. The restaurants are going to go there. Everything's going to show up at the UIC Forum, And there's going to be so much bacon, you won't know what to do. So,
I believe it.
No matter what.
Oh, I don't know what to do. It's mostly the eating.
Mostly the eating. Mostly. Also the drinking. But yeah, no, there's not, you know, there's a range of things you can procrastinate. Every moment, every task has its moment.
Yes.
At every moment eventually comes.
You have your mile markers.
Yes.
Right? And you know, okay, once I've gotten to this, now the next thing has to be checked off.
Correct.
So you have, so this restaurant, and again, the guy who won last year was Guy Michael?
Guy Michael from Heritage Restaurant and Caviar Bar.
And you have now, this year will be altogether another 149 guys and women.
Yeah. We have some repeat restaurants, but there are 30 restaurants that have never been at Bacon Fest before that will be there this year.
And are there any that you're excited to hear, to tell us about?
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned Matt Trost from Good Measure. So he's from a different, he has been at Bacon Fest before, but this restaurant didn't exist at that point. Mike Sheeran, who was a chef at Blackbird and Embea, has got a new place called Tarot Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be at Bacon Fest. They'll be at the Bacon Fest for the first time this year. The Swill Inn. Have you heard of this place?
No, but I love their confidence.
Yes, exactly. Yes. The Swill Inn. It's a bar. This incredible bartender, Dustin Drankowicz, who was from Money Gun, has opened up a place with Lamar Moore from Currency Exchange Cafe. It's right on like 415 North Milwaukee Avenue.
Okay.
Brand new bar, interesting menu, great food, and they're going to be at Bacon Fest doing, I don't know exactly what yet because they haven't told me yet, but it's going
to
be good.
So the website for folks to make sure they get their tickets is
BaconFestChicago.com. BaconFestChicago.com. And yeah, people should go and get them now. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that Bacon Fest is, although mostly I focus on the eating and the drinking.
You do have a charitable component to this.
Exactly. We support the Greater Chicago Food Depository. Mm-hmm. So since we started 10 years ago, our 11th event, we've raised more than $440,000 for the food bank.
That's wonderful. Well done.
So, yeah. You can eat bacon, you can feed hungry people, you can have a good time without feeling bad about it.
And be around other people who are having a great time. All these fests are always so filled with people having a great time.
That's true.
You know, and there's an energy that is just different than other things, whether you go to a music festival or, you know, other gatherings. There's something about, especially food that is Chicago-centric, whether it's mm-hmm. bacon or pizza, some of the beer festivals. Yeah, there's just something where people are like, I love being from this city.
Yeah, I think it's a moment where people just give themselves permission to discard whatever neuroses they have about food and just have a good time, you know?
Right. And that goes back to pacing yourself. So when does the menu get loaded when you have locked everybody in and what they're going to be having at the fest? When will people know?
We will release the menu in mid-March. So okay. We'll start to get those dishes in from the chefs. We're starting to put some of them in now, but we'll announce it to the public in mid-March.
So we have a motivational coach who comes in on Monday nights, Jen Zanotti, and she'll talk about, like, you know, having that day of splurging mm-hmm. and pacing yourself. So I would also, in addition to the fact that you mentioned there are drink tickets that are included, 7 drink tickets with the cost of admission.
Correct.
I would say also make sure everyone's drinking water because it is a salty,
yes.
right?
Definitely water is important.
Taste,
we have
yes.
a water sponsor.
Oh, you do?
We do. It's Meraldina. It's a beautiful Italian water from the island of Sardinia.
Wow, that is fancy.
They have bubbly and still. It's okay. Delicious. It's the perfect water for quenching your thirst after eating 3 pounds of personal bacon.
Yeah. Tom, I think that I'm going to have my, I think I'm going to wear these yoga pants. To
smart.
Bacon, yes.
Yeah.
I think that's one way to, I think comfortable shoes are important.
Comfy absolutely. Shoes, absolutely. Loose fitting pants,
yes.
critical.
I think I got my dad's old New Balance.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, throw those on, a little extra comfort, lumbar support.
I say it's time for you to commit to having your own New Balance there, Tom. There's no shame in that game.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of New Balance. Some really acid wash jeans and a big shirt that just says, I love bacon.
There you go. I think that's all things that need to happen.
We do get people wearing bacon costumes.
I believe that.
Dress up. There was one guy who had like a whole baseball themed, like, he had a uniform for a fictional baseball team called the Chubbs.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Right. Why not?
Hey, commit.
Exactly.
I love
that. Do it. Do it.
It sounds like you've had so much fun doing this over the years.
It has
all
been
the different.
Fun.
It's like it becomes a different spectacle every year.
Yeah, for sure. And like, you know, I didn't expect it to become what it became, and
right.
I didn't know that I would get to meet all these really great chefs. And I always was a kind of fascinated by restaurant culture and fascinated by what chefs could do with food, but I'd never really anticipated the kind of relationships and friendships that would build out of, you know, doing an annual event. You know, I talk to these guys a few times a year. But whenever I see them, it's like, oh, hey, it's an old friend now. I have these folks that I've seen now that have come for year after year to Bacon Fest. And it's really nice. Nice to have those friendships that build up.
It is, because it's a great way to sort of have that, sort of get into the culture of it, but not have to be in the, you know, the restaurant business itself.
Yeah, the restaurant business is a very unforgiving workplace.
It is. So you get the fun side of it.
I do.
Yeah. That's nice. So much fun. Again, baconfestchicago.com.
That's right.
For information about the tickets and the dates. And again, they'll be loading the menu sometime in March.
Yep. We just put up the first look at the chef lineup, so you can take a look and see if your favorite restaurant's going to be there. And if they're not, let them know. They should get in touch with me. I can get them in still.
Wonderful. Is there anything else you want to let people know about Bacon Fest before I let you get some sleep? Because I know we woke you up in the middle of some people. I love that you like went to bed and you're like, I'll get up in time to do the show, which is great.
I've become very responsive to my iPhone. No, nothing. Yes. People should know that if they like bacon, come to Bacon Fest. There will be no turkey bacon. Sorry.
It's always a pleasure to see you. We'll see you before, hopefully, if you want to come by before the event.
Anytime.
And then during the year, we'll love to check in with you, see how things are going.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Be safe out there. Get out before, I don't know if anything bad's happening. Just be safe. That's all I have to ask. More after this on 720 WGN. I've grown up in the Chicagoland area. I've lived here my entire life. And when I was a little girl, I used to go to Great America, and I loved seeing Bugs Bunny and Sylvester. Actually, Sylvester the cat was my favorite. I don't even know why. I mean, he was always trying to kill that poor little Tweety bird. Anyway, you're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show, and I'm telling you this because there's a new mascot. I guess, would you say mascot? That's not mascot, but like the meet and greet characters at Orlando, right? Have you been to Orlando Universal?
Not in a few years, but I like it a lot more than Disney, honestly.
I've been to Disney. My family went to go see the Harry Potter.
The Harry Potter thing's really cool.
I've heard that it's great. Now, Vic, have you enjoyed some of the amusement parks in Florida or other places?
I have not been back to Florida for Disney World since I was a senior in high school.
Okay. So you weren't there. As a senior in high school, you weren't there to meet any of the Disney characters. You weren't looking to hang out with Bella.
I was there to meet girls from Florida.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, no, that was the last one. But this... What you're about to talk about,
yes.
I assume, is the...
The troll,
oh,
yes.
My. Have you seen the video? Because I think it's amazing.
Well, okay, first of all, these are the trolls. So these are characters that I'm not really familiar with.
I think they're based on, you know, the wishing trolls.
Right, and
the hair,
pencil.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you spin the pencil so that the hair twirls around, and I always had the pink one.
Yeah.
But are these characters that have now, like, there's a movie, right?
So yeah, I'm guessing that's... movie Trolls.
Mm-hmm.
Like animated, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake was in it.
Okay.
So they
was
they
he a troll
them.
Or was he, live action? Oh, he's a troll.
He was a troll.
Mm-hmm.
He's the voice of one of the trolls. He sang a lot.
So this is big enough to have the walk around meet and greet characters at Orlando
totally.
Universal.
Yeah.
And so there are two characters. There's a boy and a girl named Branch and Poppy, and they've been doing meet and greets, and they have now been joined by a troll who is naked. The other trolls have some clothing. So this troll is naked, does a little dance. And as Vic just alluded to, it's bizarre to watch because, you know, you see them kind of stroll out. They've got their costumes on. And the naked troll turns around, shakes his booty, and poof, glitter comes out of his butt. I don't...
Yeah.
It's an appropriate amount of glitter, though.
Is there a... an inappropriate amount of glitter? I mean, like...
I think you could use overkill in that situation, but I think they've just nailed it.
Glitter, like a glitter bomb, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It just, I mean, look, farts are funny. I think
especially to children.
Mostly to children.
Love them.
Love. Yeah. To adults, too. You're right. What were you saying, Vic? It's not funny to children?
I mean, we all think it's funny still, right?
Yeah, kinda.
Yes. I was, it's not funny when you're trapped in a car with the windows rolled up. Less
sure.
funny. Less funny to those, including the person that's, unless you are, you know, someone who likes to torture your friends.
Yeah.
But this, so I get it. I get the amusement part of this. I just didn't know that there was a demand for that. But here's the thing. You kind of want to go see the farting glitter troll, don't you?
Yeah. No, that would get me to go back.
That would get you to go back. Not any of the superhero rides, not the Spider-Man ride.
No, not even, not Harry Potter. I want to go see the troll that farts glitter.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I wonder how it works, honestly.
I don't know. Well, I mean, it's magic. It's a troll.
I wonder Disney's got their Imagineers, world famous, you know, always coming up with different rides, different concepts. And I wonder if they just kind of got like the runoff, like the hungover C students that were just like, yeah, we'll go get a job at Universal. We'll be their version of Imagineers, and they're like, well, why don't we just, you know, they got Mr. Incredible. You can, you know, break down walls and stuff, mm-hmm, and they got, mm-hmm, you know, walking toys and beautiful princesses. Oh, we could make this troll fart glitter. I think that'd be pretty easy. You guys got, like, you know, a can of WD-40 and some, you know, they stop probably, by Michaels.
They probably thought it was a job for a slacker, like you said, maybe an up-and-coming engineer, but now,
yeah,
now that guy gets to put that on his resume.
Yes.
Nationwide, everybody knows about it now.
Well, and I bet you he thought, like, no one's gonna let this one fly. Right, that's the kind of you're just putting it into the hat, right?
That was a 3 a.m. thought.
Yeah,
like he was just like, "What if?"
Yes,
no
and,
way.
And they're never gonna go for it. And now, like, it's not just the bar is set so low; they threw out the bar. It's like now, what else is there to do? What other kind of what would you have your characters do?
That's a slippery slope.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's hope it's not. I don't know. It's all very strange. I don't know. I'm fascinated by this. Also, I think that there's a moment in my life where I should have tried to be a character or do, like, work in an amusement park. I think that's the one job I kind of wish not, or maybe not at Great America, but at, like, Winter Wonderfest kind of a situation, like they have at Navy Pier, mm-hmm, where you get to, like, you know, sort of invite people into this world of make-believe.
Sure.
And be, although I've heard those costumes all stink.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. Well, if you could have been one, whether it's Disney or Orlando, whatever, if you could have been one of those characters, who would you have wanted to be?
See, I wouldn't want to be a princess or anything like that. I would want to be like one of the big, like, you know, bigger than life, the ones that ever iconic, like Bugs Bunny or, sure, you know, one of those characters.
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo would be great.
Yeah.
I love that. Yes, I like that a lot. We have a listener from the 301 who wonders if the glitter farts are odorless. And I'm going to go ahead and hope. If it's glitter, it can't smell.
True.
Right?
Or it would have to smell good.
I'm thinking like strawberries and cream, kind of, maybe peaches.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be necessary for them to, yeah, because, yeah. And that's the thing, too, is like glitter is a mess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to.
Especially around kids. That's the one thing that really gets me about this is that you've got kids who are messy anyway.
Yes.
And now they're going to get sprayed with glitter out of a troll's butt.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to go back to the resort, going to go back to the hotel, and it's going to get everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, you've ruined the whole vacation.
Or
basically,
You'll remember your trip for years because, oh, there's the glitter from the farting troll.
Yeah.
At Universal.
High school graduation, yeah. They'll take off their cap and
So the a listener from the 224 says that troll that farts glitter is actually a character from the movie. Again, I believe you, and I just am not familiar with the storytelling and how
I think
that
they're doing a sequel too. Like it's kind of big now.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
They've got a whole section of Orlando Universal Studios Park, and that's fantastic. Carve that out. I mean, I really feel as though the glitter troll's name is Guy Diamond.
I what?
Maybe
was
Demond.
Was he in a band with David Bowie? Like,
it's a good name. Let's see. I'm trying to find the video of it. I mean, I guess I should. Maybe this is a whole aspect of culture that a pop culture that's passing me by. Glitter is the glitter is the STD of the craft world, the gift that keeps on giving.
True.
To your point about how it True. Never ever goes away. Between glitter and sand never leaves your life.
No.
And pine tree, the needles from yeah. Christmas. That's why I was so happy to switch. So those are the three. Are there other things? Sand, pine tree needles, and glitter are very hard to get out of your life. I was a lifeguard at North Avenue Beach when I was 17, and I'm still trying to get the sand out of my life.
I'm still trying to get my ex out of my life.
Oh, boy.
Whatever. She's number four.
send her a glitter bomb.
Oh, that'll work.
That'll work. I think that's what people were doing. There was like these revenge packages people were sending. Did you see the guy who was leaving the packages, the booby trap packages on his front porch for the porch pirates?
Oh, and he was, yeah.
And it turns out that he may or may not have kind of futz with the footage.
Yeah.
By the way, I
want to believe, though.
By the way, I said futzed, just so we're all clear.
Yes.
F-U-T-Z-E-D. I saw you look down for a second and go, I think that's what she said?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I want to believe, but yes, so he booby-trapped this box. It looks as though, you know, he's having an iPhone delivered, but actually he has four iPhones rigged inside of it so he can see the person open the package, and he has almost this, like, an IED, like an exploding glitter bomb, with not in a dangerous way, just that it just sends glitter nonstop. It's like it twirls all over, like a cyclone of glitter. And so you have people opening it in various places in their cars and in their home and very angry with what they have discovered.
It's a little bit like a remix on the bank bag. You know, you try to open the, you rob a bank, you open up the bag, sprays out blue paint. This is a little bit more fun.
It is a little bit. And I couldn't, it's one of those rabbit holes you go down, you can't stop. But who has that kind of time? It took him like 6 months to create the mechanisms because he also had, you know, you have to be confident you're going to get your 4 iPhones back.
Right.
Yeah. And he has to be, you know, all GPS enabled. So you have to have that. You have to actually have an account with those phones so you can trace, or at least one of them, to trace the package.
Everybody's got to have hobbies. You know, that's American ingenuity right there. And I think we should celebrate it. Yeah, that's a hobby, trying to catch porch pirates.
Well, it's funny. I was thinking about trying to get him on the show, but then I found out that he was he might have hired people or something to, or it was like he kind of collected footage from other things. And I was like, man, I don't know. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to get involved in that.
No, it's a thought that counts.
So apparently there are people who do know about more than I do the troll movie. Oh, look at that. I'm being sent clips. Oh. This troll just farted all over a glitter on a picture. That I don't know why they're farting on that picture, but apparently they don't like that person in the photo. But yes, I'm getting clips of the movie Troll.
Great.
For those of you just catching up on this conversation, maybe you just got in the car, but in Orlando, it's not me. It's Orlando Universal. Yeah. You have your, at Disney World, you have your Hall of Presidents. Mm-hmm. And at Orlando, you have your farting trolls.
I would love to see Woodrow Wilson's wax statue fart glitter. I think that'd be a nice salute.
I think that kids might pay more attention if perhaps you know, their presidents are tooting while they're talking.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if that's how the State of the Union went. You know what? And one of the reasons I was talking about, you know, we think that farts are funny. Yes, but I was in a situation recently where I tend to, when I get stressed and I feel a little anxious, I get a little bit digestively challenged and I start to, you know, the acids start building up. I was in a car with I don't know if Paul will ever say anything. Paul Farvar and I were on a road trip this week and we were coming back and he hit some uneven pavement on Sunday morning. It was 4 a.m. and I had fallen asleep and I woke up to this the whole car just rattling, and he's like, "It's okay, I just hit some uneven pavement." So I went back to sleep. We were within the city limits, but I was asleep hard. And he goes, "Patty, you got to wake up. We have a flat tire." And we were like, there was no shoulder. He tried to be in the entrance ramp, but cars were coming close to hitting us. I'm surprised that Paul has not said anything to me in the last 2 days about how badly the inside of that car started to smell, because I was like, the anxiety of, I didn't know how we were going to get out of the car. And I was telling Steve, my husband, I said, I hope he just thinks it was like gas from the traffic.
Yeah, no.
There was, you know, maybe there were some trucks hauling stock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just blame it on them.
Yeah, blame it on the cows on the truck that just went by. Yeah,
I stepped on that duck.
Well, there comes that moment where you know you've done it, right? And you're like, do I roll the windows down? I open the door. I'm like, I don't think we can get out of this. Like trying to like fan the car.
Sometimes you just got to own it and honestly pray for forgiveness.
Well, and that's the thing, is that owning it is when it's silent. The worst is when you can't control the volume.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a heartbreaking moment where you're just like, I mean, I remember the first time in front of Griffin, he was like, "Mommy." Now we're all very, you know, we're family. We're all very comfortable.
Sure.
But the first time he heard his mother toot was not, I felt so bad. Like, you know, I felt as though I was diminished in his eyes.
The illusion was broken.
Oh, yeah. The illusion was gone.
You were brought down from godhood.
I don't know about that, but he definitely knows his mom farts. More after this on 720 WGN. You know, you open up one can of worms and there's bound to be worms. There's a listener that texted Tom during the break that said that you've got to check out the video of the farting preacher. And I did that.
Oh,
but the good news is I don't have volume on this screen, so I can't. All I'm getting are his facial expressions.
I mean, really, that tells the story.
It does. By the way, if you just Google, if you just go to in the search box for YouTube and just put in farting,
you're ruining the internet history of this station right now.
This is nothing compared to what it used to be like. Oh, man. People were like, please don't ask. Producers were always like, can you do that yourself?
Yeah.
The glitter farting troll is not yet number one in the videos when you just search for farting on YouTube.
What?
Just so you know. Yeah. Before that comes farting on people while making eye contact is higher ranked than
that. Is that just a video of me growing up?
Like, no.
That was in the household. That was a battle. Grew up with two younger brothers. You kidding me?
See, my dad would always blame the dog. Pepper, what'd you eat? No, apparently this is kind of like a prank type thing where these guys put cameras and they went to... There are folks shopping and looking for something on a store shelf. They come into eye contact and toot at their eye level. So that's wrong.
Wow, that's we've reached a really high caliber of comedy for the internet. I'm proud.
And possibly this show. I'm just saying now that I've... I mean, there, I guess there's a lot of things that you could just... give me something to search on YouTube that I can look for other videos
on.
That won't ruin the search history. I guess... here, I'll go nose. No, that's gross.
No.
No. You're like, no, ears. That's the thing. Have you seen that there's a new show on the Learning Channel called Dr. Pimple Popper?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. As many people know, I also produce Dean Richards Sunday Morning, and Dean was blown away that this was a show.
It's a show.
Dr. Pimple Popper.
Because of YouTube videos, by the way.
Yeah.
Because of the number of clicks, because of people like me talking about it, and then everyone going to search for it, and the Learning Channel said, well, let's give her a show.
Well, they've got another one coming up.
What's the other one?
It's called, like... It's
I ear cleaners?
The toe bro.
No.
I'm not kidding.
Come on.
I'm not kidding.
No.
This is what we're doing
Hold on a second. Let me take a look.
The toe bro.
There has to be something more useful that I could. Let me Google speeches by Abraham Lincoln on YouTube instead of just
class it up a little bit.
Oh, that's why. Why? I can't.
I'm always curious because it just seems like people have a genuinely morbid curiosity about how weird bodies are.
Oh.
And they just want to watch it.
What is happening? So he has his own channel. The Toe Bro has his own channel.
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and dissuade everyone from doing this, from searching.
Unless you're into that sort of thing.
Well, it's not into it. And maybe here, on the other hand, perhaps you have something that has, you know, that you keep hidden, you know, in your shoes, which is, you know, that has been bothering you for a long time and you think that it's you're embarrassed by it, you have shame about it, and you're not alone. Maybe this will help you feel better about yourself. Because, wow, I can't look to the left anymore, Tom. I don't even know how to clear this search history.
just kind of feel around. But,
you know what? I'm gonna type in puppies, quick puppies. Yes. Hopefully, nothing bad with puppies. I think that should clear up the. That's a palate cleanser. Puppies or kittens? Which I was surprised that many of the advertisers this year think that we are tired of puppies and kittens and think that we want robots because that's all they had during the Super Bowl this
year. Yeah, I wasn't thrilled by the robots, honestly.
It was a lot of robots.
Yeah.
And then there's one on Ontario when you're heading toward the Kennedy. I was like, nope, I'm done. It's the Sprint billboard.
Just big old robot.
Nope, not a fan.
I was big into the Bud Light Game of Thrones commercial.
The whole thing.
I was legitimately surprised.
I don't want to spoiler alert for a commercial that happened on Sunday, but it had a Game of Thrones ending to it with a dragon.
Yeah, starts out as a Bud Light commercial. You got the Bud Knight and the whole dilly dilly thing, which I never really latched onto, but
dilly dally over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they bring in like the dragon and everything. They do the whole Game of Thrones bit, and then it turns out it's just a trailer but a commercial for the new season of Game of Thrones. I thought it was pretty good.
It was. It's memorable. People are remembering it. I have to agree.
It's the only thing that was memorable about Sunday, unfortunately. Really.
What a game. Well, you have to be happy though.
I was a fan. Yeah, as a Pats fan, and I know I get crucified for that, but
at this point,
it was decided for me before I was born. It was just a
there
thing.
There you go. It was built in. It was baked into the cake, as they say.
Yeah, as they say. But I mean, I think it was one of, if not at least one of the lowest scoring Super Bowls of all time, up there with like Super Bowl V, which I can't believe that wasn't played in like the Ottoman Empire. Like that feels so long ago.
Oh man, I was trying really hard not to troll John Tatey during the game. I just was like, just wondering how you're doing, John. Just tweeted at him a little bit, and then of course he was much happier.
Of course,
by the end of the game, I let these texts go away. The 708 says, when my grandfather was alive and knew he had to pass gas and all of us, the young cousins were with him, he would direct us all to sing louder in order to hopefully mask the sound. I love that. Thank you so much for that, Carol, from the 708. The 301, by the way, one of our listeners who I love hearing from, the Toe Bro, I'll bet that show is a jam. Sorry, couldn't resist.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not the issue that they have. You know, you have to take care of your toes. I don't know if you listened to Carm. Carm was ridiculed by our friend Paul Farvar for having arthritis in his big toe, and it's giving him a lot of pain.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ridiculed?
Because he was claiming that it's impossible to have arthritis in just one joint like that, which is not true. I think many people will attest to the fact that they have something isolated, and whether it's from a past injury or just the way the arthritis has developed. And I
Since when I thought Paul was a lawyer,
right?
Not a doctor.
Yeah, find someone to blame for that.
Yeah.
Well, his dad's an orthopedic doctor.
Oh well.
Which does not make Paul an orthopedic
doctor.
Exactly. Just like his brother being a neurologist. I think he's a neurologist or a neurosurgeon. Paul's really the weak link in his family.
Yeah, he's only a lawyer. He was only a practice lawyer and now a successful comedian.
Well, we'll see what happens. My mom would take either one of those, by the way. Did your parents have like wishes for you for what they wanted you to do in life?
I think they really wanted me to be, I know my dad wanted me to be really good at rugby. And I was kind of good at rugby.
Yeah.
But I was like, I was not into the organized sports thing. But I think they just wanted me to just do whatever I wanted to do well.
Well, and organize, there's a shelf life to athletics as well.
Oh, yeah. No, I would have scrubbed out at some point. I was like, I'm not going to be, are there American professional rugby? I mean, there are, but
yes.
Like, ooh. How many?
Do you want me to introduce you to some of them?
Please do.
Yes. My friend Roy Hayes actually runs the Chicagoland Rugby Association.
Some hard dudes, I'll tell you.
Yeah. We had the Blacks? I think it's the name of the team, by the way.
The All Blacks.
The All Blacks.
So it's the New Zealand All Blacks.
Thank you. I knew that I was going to get that wrong. It's the All Blacks from New Zealand. Yes. It's the name of the team. It's we actually had some of the players in a couple of years ago.
Oh,
cool. They were hardcore.
Do they do the haka thing? That's a lot of fun. That's really cool.
And by the way, we have a couple more texts. By the way, someone was asking about Ali Jados, who was on last night. We'll have her on again. I'm sorry that you couldn't pick up some of the music, but she'll be on with us again.
She was lovely. I was listening last night.
She's so good.
Very good.
Very cool. Well, let's take a break here. We're going to turn it over to Nick D in just a moment on 720 WGN.
The numbers are in.
WGN Plus is where Chicago comes for podcasts.
Here's what's happening with WGN Plus. Do you ever think you know a lot about beer? Well, I bet Master Cicerone Jason Pratt knows a little bit more. That's okay, he's supposed to. And he joined Barrel the Bottle in this week's episode. Rebel Force Radio introduces their friend Puppet Lando Calrissian. Yes, a puppet. And Noco Cinema sits down with creators of the film An Acceptable Loss. Look them up. WGN Plus on iTunes and Google Play.
Before we turn it over, I want to remind folks that Tom Hush will be leading the Q&A for the movie Rendezvous in Chicago this Friday night at the Gene Siskel Film
Sun Center. Yeah.
Yes. And what time is the movie on Friday?
It starts at 8. There's some cocktails and everything like that. There's a different key. There's four chances to see it. Different Q&A with different cast members and crew members every night.
Excellent. And my mom and I are going over the weekend as well. So,
oh, I'm so happy.
Looking forward to seeing the movie. It is time now to turn it over to Nick D. Don't forget to hang out with us again tomorrow night. We'll be back at 10 p.m.